Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, and I'm your
welcome
host.
Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive.
Hello, and welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. I'm your host each Friday, and we bring you inspiring people, authors, and issues of concern to all of us. Today, we're broadcasting live from Minnesota. I'm actually in an office in Coon Rapids with the Minnesota United for All Families campaign. I came up here as a volunteer on Monday. I'm here for 1 week. It's an incredible experience. I'm meeting all kinds of people. I'm reconnecting with some old friends. One of them's on the phone right now. We'll be talking with Meg Riley, who I actually knew 20 years ago in Washington, D.C., where she's the, I believe, a UUA minister. Is that right, Meg? Are you on the line? Meg, are you with us? I guess Meg hasn't called in yet. So, bear with us. We're going to be getting a lot of kinks out of the system. We have various people on the line with us. We also have Chris Ann McMahon. Chris Ann, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, welcome. Yes,
hello.
I can hear you. And that's exciting because we've had lots of technical challenges here at the campaign office trying to connect to the internet.
Oh.
And, of course, it's a very busy place with 4 days to go until the election. So thank you for being with us, Chris Ann. And we have another guest holding. Let's see, who else is on the line with us today?
Nancy Giddings.
Nancy, hello and welcome. I'm so
excited you're
going to be with us today for this very special episode. I have goosebumps thinking about this whole experience, and the two of you are just very special moms that are dedicated to this campaign. This has been going on. There have been people working as volunteers since the beginning of 2012. For the listeners that may be tuning in for the first time, and we have listeners all over the country that may not know what's happening here, Basically, there are four states this election that are looking at the question of same-sex marriage and are looking at ballot issues. Here in Minnesota, there is a proposed amendment to change the state constitution and to put it on the state constitution to limit and define the union of a marriage between one man and one woman. And this has been a hot contested issue. It's an issue that's near and dear to my heart. I actually am in an 8-year relationship with the love of my life. We had a commitment ceremony in Denver, Colorado, 8 years before I moved to Missouri. I've never really talked about this on my show today, so this is a very emotional thing for me personally, which is why I came to Minnesota to volunteer for a week with no campaign. It's been a humbling experience because I'm meeting people like Chris Ann, who is a mother of a gay son, and her son volunteered on the campaign this summer, and he's now studying overseas and working on his undergraduate degree. And Chris Ann is my host family. And so we'd like to just welcome Chris Ann. And Chris Ann, tell us a little bit about your introduction to this issue and how you got involved personally.
Okay. Well, I really got involved because of my son, Connor. When he came home for the summer, last summer, he volunteered once a week at the Minnesotans United for All Families, and he did the phone calls, and he really enjoyed making those phone calls. So before he headed back to college, he brought me down to the Coon Rapids office and introduced me to people, and, you know, we bought some of the lawn signs, did some of the things, and, you know, everyone was really great that was volunteering at the office, and I promised Connor that when he went back to college that I would take his place as a volunteer and make sure that we were still committed to this Vote No campaign. So I was kind of nervous about making the phone calls because that's not really my thing, no matter, you know, it's not my thing, but I said I'd give it a try, and I thought I might have some good information to share with people because I'm fiscally conservative too, and this get not more liberal on some of the other issues. So I thought I could perhaps relate to some of those that were undecided or whatever. But so I did spend one evening making phone calls, and I didn't hate it, but I didn't really feel like I was effective with anyone either. So then I thought, well, what else can I do to volunteer? Where else can I be involved? So that's how I ended up hosting you. I thought that would be a good alternative since phone calls weren't exactly my thing. So it was really because of Connor that I got involved. And it's the first time I've ever been involved in any type of campaign, I think. And it does really have a grassroots feel to it. And it's really been enjoyable to me. And I feel like I've met a lot of really great people through it and a lot of positive people. And it's been a fun experience for me.
Wow, that is so great. And I'm actually staying in Connor's room. Can you share with us a little bit, how old was Connor when he came out to you? And how did you and your husband react to that day?
It was like almost 3 years ago. It was in the fall of 11th grade. And I actually had no idea. And when he first told me, I think my first words were, "Are you sure?" And he looked at me, of course, like I was crazy, and said, "Yes." And I said, "Oh, because I thought you had a crush on so-and-so last year." And he's like, "No, we're just friends." I said, "Oh, and I thought you had a crush on so-and-so this year." And he's like, "No, we're just friends." And then I just, you know, gave him a hug and said that we would always support him. And my husband was working that night, so I don't know if I got any sleep that night. And I'm like, well, I need to call Jim tell Jim when he gets home. I didn't think I should call him and tell him over the phone. And so when I told Jim, I think his first words almost were, "Well, we'll just have a blended family. That'll be good." That was his reaction. But I always kind of get a kick because if we see the TV commercials for Modern Family, Jim will always say, "Oh, we're a Modern Family." So Jim's kind of phrases are, "We'll have a blended family and we're a Modern Family." So that's
That is awesome. And I think it's so cool that you guys are involved. You're your daughters are also have been volunteers and have been promoting this with their circle of friends. And, you know, it's a whole family affair. And it makes a big difference when a gay teenager comes out and has the support of his family. Because as we've seen in this county, especially in this part of Minnesota, unfortunately, there's been a lot of national attention on specific part of Minnesota because there were some teens that felt unsafe at coming out in their families, maybe feared rejection or maybe some strong reaction of their parents and had been perhaps the subject of some bullying or just a very hostile climate in this county, which is known as Anoka, A-N-O-K-A, is that correct? How that's spelled.
Yep.
And there were, what, 8 or 9 suicides in the past year or two?
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's been some national attention. There was an article in the Rolling Stones magazine wanted to give out that issue from February 2012. And the cover of that magazine says, School of Hate, One Town's War on Gay Teens. And there's been tons of press coverage about that issue. And Nancy, you're on the phone with us. Did that issue kind of wake you up to what was going on? Was that your first exposure that there was a hostile climate here towards gay and lesbian people?
It was my first exposure to the climate, but it was not my first exposure in working towards things. I've been active, well, I was active in 2009 with Lutherans Concerned North America, which were working to pass ordination of gay and lesbian pastors and make Lutheran churches welcoming and reconciling congregations. So I was doing that at their national convention in Minneapolis. So, but that's kind of when I came out very vocally and publicly in support. So, and then as I watched what was going on in Anoka, I was just appalled.
So tell us a little bit about your story. You're a mom with, what, 4 kids, is that correct?
4 kids, right. And like I said, I have been working with Lutherans Concerned North America. One of my daughters got me connected with them. And my oldest stepdaughter was the one who actually said, you've got to be making phone calls. So I went down to Minnesotans United a few weeks ago and got down there because it was a twofold thing. When I first sat down, I introduced myself, and instead of saying, well, Jenny invited me, the words that came out of my mouth were, my faith mandated this, because I feel as a Christian, I need to be speaking out in favor of this and talking to the people who are throwing Bible bullets at me when I call them and knowing how I answer them based on my faith. And then I just went down there, and unlike Chris Ann, found that I was able to work on the phone and make phone calls. As a matter of fact, I'm on my way down there now in another half hour to work all weekend and get out the vote calls. But it's just, for me, it's a matter of what's right. Connor, I've known all of his life, and I've known Chris Ann and Jim for many years. We were neighbors. And it just, once Connor came out, just continuing to fight for Connor and for other people like Connor, just makes sense to me.
Wow.
So.
Wow. And this has been very interesting dynamics in the last couple of weeks. There's been a huge amount of money from the other side of this issue that's, as we refer to it, as the vote yes side, and we're on the vote no side of this amendment. People that want to, again, limit, make it illegal, and put it on the state constitution to define marriage and also to, you know, confuse the voters. Let's just be honest. They are running all kinds of commercials. I saw one of these the other night. I could not believe it, basically connecting this issue to education in the schools, to, I mean, this all kinds of erroneous other issues that basically are playing on fear and trying to confuse the voter as to what this is really all about. So as Nancy said, we are making calls both GOT, what's known as GOTV, which stands for Get Out the Vote, calls to supporters that are voting no to you know, encourage them to get to the polls and to have a plan, to know where their polling location is. I guess there's been a lot of redistricting, so poll locations may have changed, but to offer rides if they need a ride. We have a lot of activity going on the college campuses up in St. Cloud. We have McAllister College in St. Paul. It turns out I have a second cousin named Taryn who's over there helping with the students, you know, to turn out the student vote. So there's so many different people from various walks of life that are working on this issue. We have with us that just called in. We're going to click over here to an old friend of mine. I think Meg Riley, are you on the phone?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Fantastic. Meg and I knew each other in Washington, D.C. We were working on a, I think at that time, Meg, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I met you through the Summit on Ethics and Meaning with Michael Lerner.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
And at that time, so I haven't seen or talked to Meg in probably 20 years, or I guess it's been 16 years. I think that was in 1996 or something. And you were at that time a UUA minister. Is that correct?
Yep, and I still am.
You still are minister. And Meg relocated to Minnesota, and I'd like her to share her story, how she came to Minnesota. And also, she's a mom, and she's also been a volunteer. This week, took the week off from work and is working at one of the offices on the Vote No campaign and participated in something very special last night that I also want her to talk about. But, Meg, tell us a little bit about your story, about how you got to Minnesota, and why this issue touches you personally.
Sure. But as Brenda mentioned, we knew each other back in Washington, D.C. some years ago, and I used to direct the UU Lesbian Gay Office, and which is now bisexual and transgender as well. And then when I met Brenda, I directed our Washington office. So I spent a lot of time over a long period of time starting in 1992 working with Unitarian Universalists and others who were facing ballot initiatives, homophobic ballot initiatives of one kind or another. So I lived in D.C. for a long time until I just couldn't bear anymore to be away from the state I love the most, my home, Minnesota. So I moved back here in 2004 because in Washington, D.C., I thought to myself, there is no grassroots movement left here. What I love about justice movements is the actual people's movement part of it. And in Washington, D.C., it was focus groups and people being paid to do it, and it just didn't have the same feeling. So I moved back here. Now I'm a parish minister, and little did I know that I would have the chance right here in my own home ground to be involved with one of these horrible ballot initiatives. You know, we fended it off starting in 2004, 2006. You know, Michelle Bachmann, before she went to the national legislature, made her mark here trying to introduce this initiative. So it's been around, but we were able to keep it off of the ballot for a long time. And this year, with a Republican-dominated House and Senate, and who wrote it in a way that the Democratic governor couldn't veto it, we ended up with it on the ballot.
Wow, it's been a long journey, and it's really just was the power of social media that I reconnected with Meg, and a lot of people are, you know, connecting through social media to get the word out and to find friends that are living in Minnesota or have their hometown here. And so there's a way to search your friends list on Facebook to find people whose hometown is in Minnesota or who have a Minnesota connection, which is what I did. And I don't think, Meg, I knew you were up here before that. So that was fantastic. We reconnected. And then, as I said, I have a cousin here and a nephew also here. And both my nephew and his wife who live in Eagan are voting no, and my cousin, second cousin, has been active on his college campus. And Meg, talk a little bit about your daughter. So she's 16.
Sure.
And she's been volunteering. And it's so cool the teenagers, and we have a lot of teenagers here in this office in Coon Rapids that go to the local high schools that are involved. Tell us how your daughter got involved and why it's important to her.
Well, my daughter started volunteering in the summer, and people kept saying to me, oh, you must have really encouraged her to do that. And I said, you know, no, I was trying to get her to take algebra and cello this summer or go on a canoe trip. And it didn't occur to me that she would even enjoy this at all. But her best friend started to volunteer, and, of course, that mattered a lot more than what I thought. So she started volunteering in the summer every day. She got very invested in it. And yesterday I was volunteering, and Richard, the director of Minnesotans United, came through, and I said, I want to thank you for creating this program just for my daughter because it's changed her life. She's now running statewide trainings. She's the leader of all kinds of trainings. She's been core staff, and she goes to a school that's project-based learning. And so they said, sure, if that's where you're learning, you can meet some of the high school equivalency requirements by doing that. And so she's been full-time really since June over there. And she inspired me. I mean, I started doing some of the faith-based organizing and the conversations trainings. And, you know, I spent the summer doing coaching and training, which I love, you know. And it's, you know, you mentioned your cousin. I mean, what I do love about this campaign is it is so relationally based. It's such a non-typical political campaign. It really feels, and I took the week off partly because I just don't want to feel guilty if we lose, but mostly because, you know, to me, this is like going to the beach, to get to be in a place. You know, I don't know about where you are, Brenda, but here in Minneapolis, it's almost all volunteers. I mean, there are a few people making a little bit of money, but this is a genuine grassroots movement that is people talking to their families, their coworkers, their neighbors, their friends, having the hard conversations about values, about what kind of nation we want to be, that are what we have to do if we're going to knit this country back together. And it is so inspiring to me every day, the work that people are doing on this campaign. So I just didn't want to miss it. I wanted to soak up every bit of it that I could before the election. And, of course, I hope and I trust that after the election, the work will go on, whether we win or lose.
Well, you made a great point there about the relationally based and telling the key is to every person telling their own story. And I haven't been involved in politics for at least 10 years. I was, you know, pretty active in Washington, D.C., hard not to be when you live there. But, you know, so I was really active in various organizations in the 90s, worked at the Holocaust Museum, and I worked for the Human Rights Campaign nationally and also PFLAG. But I kind of got away from politics in the early 2000s. And then I moved to Missouri in 04, and Missouri passed a similar hateful amendment right after I moved there. And I had, really some big concerns moving to the Midwest after living, you know, in the East where it's much more open and accepting, and it's kind of almost a non-issue in certain parts of the East Coast. But you come to the Midwest, and it's like going back in time. And some of the things that are being said, it's unbelievable. Personally,
yeah.
I mean, I missed a lot of the activism of the 60s and often felt like, gee, I wish I could have been around to been a freedom rider or been part of the civil rights movement in the South. And you know, this has been an unbelievable experience, like you were saying with your daughter. You know, we are meeting a variety of people cross-culturally, a lot of different ages. I've met moms that have been coming in because they have a gay son or daughter. This morning I met a sister who's her sister has been in a 25-year relationship. Yesterday I met a woman who's retired. She's been in personally a 20-year relationship with her same gender partner. And I just have met people that don't even have a gay family member or a gay friend.
Right, right.
It's just your concern.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Isn't that amazing, Brenda? I mean, I find that so amazing because, you know, like you, I've been in this struggle for a really long time. And back in the day, there were some straight allies, but it was very largely the GLBT community fighting for itself. And this campaign here, I don't even know people's sexual orientation. I mean, some I do because I know them or they tell me. But a lot of people who are here, you know, they're just here. And that's what I love. It's this new generation for whom this is just stupid to them, and they, it doesn't matter what their own orientation is, they're furious that this is happening here. So Minnesota, as you know, is such a funny mix of Michelle Bachmann and Paul Wellstone, and, you know, it's, that's how we are here. And Keith Ellison, the congressman, was here at our headquarters this morning revving up people before phone calls, and he said, you know, it's not about 1% here, it's about 0.1%. So he said, the calls you make, the canvassing you do, could literally make the difference between winning and losing.
That is so true. And last night there was a debate hosted by Minnesota Public Radio, and it was down at the incredible, historic Fitzgerald Theater, and it was such a thrill to go there. Again, I went with a friend that I had reconnected with, well, through someone I know in St. Louis. They knew a friend in St. Paul, and her and I went to the Fitzgerald Theater for that debate, and one of the panels was the Bishop, Gene. If there's background noise, I'm going to ask somebody to mute out. If you could mute your phone because there's your background noise on the line, please. So Gene Robinson from New Hampshire is an out Episcopal bishop and was on the panel, and I was just tickled to see him because I'm from New Hampshire, and I never could have imagined in a million years coming out in that state back in the 70s or 80s. But at any rate, they mentioned that there are over 100 faith communities supporting the Vote No, you know, the Vote No campaign. Can you talk about the interfaith service last night, Meg, that you?
I actually think it's over 400 faith communities. It's been amazing, the whole faith dimension of this campaign. Last night there were over 1,000 people at the Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church, and you know, it was wonderful. It was an All Saints Day, and it was a new gay Lutheran minister in town, which, you know, I was sitting near Anita Hill, who was a lesbian I went to seminary with back when the Lutherans, she wasn't even trying to get ordained, you know, and now there she is ordained, and here are all these other Lutherans ordained, and the Synod is speaking out against this amendment. And, you know, you just see the change. You just feel that you're part of history. And he, I loved this line he said about, you know, it was the text was about Lazarus being risen from the dead. He said, it's really hard to control people who were dead once. And he's talking about gay people who had given up, who were filled with shame. Once we come to life, we're kind of not going to be controlled. And he was talking about all of the life and resurrection that's happened in the course of this campaign. It was really inspiring. And we had the Gay Men's Choir there singing. And, you know, it was just a very joyful. We passed candlelight, and then we went outside and blessed this bus that's going to go all over Minnesota to take the message of marriage equality. And it just felt fabulous. There were Catholics there, obviously not the Catholic hierarchy, but hundreds of Catholics were there, and just people of every faith, primarily Christian. There were a few Jews and Unitarians, but it was primarily a very Christian service. But it just felt so wonderful and so much what the world we want to live in, you know, the world. And to see all of the change that I've lived through. I mean, Brenda, I was in D.C. when even the gay groups wouldn't speak out for marriage equality. Back when the Hawaii thing came up, the only groups that did anything, I remember I went to one meeting and it was the ACLU, People for the American Way, and the UUs, and I think an MCC person. Even the gay groups wouldn't go. And it was because it seemed like, well, this isn't going to happen in our lifetime. So I feel like I have watched so much progress on this, where the president, the Democratic Party are talking about this. I mean, I just never thought this would happen. So I feel like this business of having the majority vote on any minority's well-being, of course, I think is exactly what the Constitution should protect us from. And I don't know if we'll win here. I know people who are super optimistic. I think it could really go either way, and that's why I'm giving it all I've got, because it is so dependent on so many thousands of people doing what they can.
Oh, my God. That just gave me goosebumps. And you're right. It has come a long way, and I love that that the Vote No campaign and all the supporters and the commercials and the messaging has all been very positive, very loving, very taking the higher road. Chris Ann, what has been your reaction seeing the ads for the Vote Yes side, some of the ads that have been airing lately? How did you feel when you watched them?
Well, I guess I feel like they are just telling a partial. I think they're misleading, I guess. I think that where they say, talk about it being taught in schools and you won't have a choice, I think they should tell the whole story around it, because when you read other articles about it, they're just misleading. And I think they're actually, what's the other phrase I'm thinking? Kind of hypocritical, I guess, because I think there's a lot of divorce, and they just, it's all about how this is harmful for the kids. And I'm like, how is this harmful? How is this harmful to the kids? I think they are, they don't sway me either way, so, or sway me the other way, I should say.
Right. Okay. Nancy, what's been your reaction in terms of the messaging from the Vote No campaign and the messaging from the Vote Yes side of things?
Can you hear me? I'm on Bluetooth now. I was very proud of the Vote No messages, because they were non-condemning, very positive. They were people that weren't even totally aligned with the gay and lesbian community that are saying this just isn't right. And then on the Vote Yes side, they were just so blatantly, I've just gotten to the point where I just mute my TV or my radio when they come on and tend to avoid TV stations and updates, because they were so blatantly, like Chris Ann says, they were filled with hypocrisy, they were filled with half-truths, and they were just designed to inflame people, whereas the ones with Minnesotans United were designed to inform people, to say, you know, this is what it is. But I was very proud of our site.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Meg, where are you off to today, or what kind of activities are you doing on the campaign today?
I just said send me, and I'm actually doing something that is probably some of the least best use of me in the world, but it's where I am. For the whole week, I am head of the greeters table, which mostly means making sure forms get filled out right, which if anyone knows me would laugh. But I have a great team of volunteers who are really good at filling out forms just right, because, of course, we're trying to count every day. How many people came? How many phone calls did they make? How many votes do we have? It's that counting game as we count down the days. So I'm going to go back and see. We have a building just for the training now for Get Out the Vote, and that's where all of the energy is focused on canvassing and calling voters. Keith Ellison said his office called every single voter in this precinct. That's amazing. I think everybody is just all systems go from now to the end. And my daughter's over at the U of M campus doing walking around, talking to students, making sure they know how to vote. And that's just what we're all going to be focused on, because it doesn't matter if people are for us or against us if they don't vote. So we want to make sure the ones who are for us are voting. So thanks so much for having me, Brenda. And nice to hear
thanks,
you guys.
Hey, thanks, Meg. I know you need to get back to your volunteer commitment there, and thank you for your service and for your leadership and doing the good fight for probably it's been 30 years since you've been working on various issues nationally and now here in Minnesota, which I think this is a national issue. And a lot of people are going to be watching what happens here. And I know that it's been said that this could be the first state to historically fight back this amendment. The numbers have never been closer.
Yeah, we've learned so much from the other 30, so we're trying to use it all. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Meg. I'll talk to you later. And the calling is such a big part of any campaign. I think I heard the numbers being something like 300,000 calls will be made this week. There were persuasion calls and discussions, really calls that were to discuss people's experience with the issue, to see if what their specific concerns were, and really get to the root of their resistance or their, you know, maybe their bias or their, you know, I think a lot of us, for example, a lot of people were raised with racism and don't know it until they start digging and looking and talking about it. And a lot of people were raised with homophobia. I know I was. I was raised Catholic in New Hampshire. I didn't know anyone gay. I never saw anyone gay. I didn't know anything about it. And I think even when I was in elementary school, I think we had some derogatory words we used. And it wasn't until much later in my 20s, after I moved away from home and moved to a bigger city and met some, positive role models that, you know, that it was even safe for me to come out at 26. And, you know, I think we all carry homophobia at some level because it's so ingrained in our society and our culture. But last night at the debate, they were talking, it was almost like same-sex marriage or same-sex couples are a new concept, and they're not a new concept. They've been around forever. You know, people may not have been out about it, but there was a society, you know, even in New England, the Boston marriages, which were the friendship of two women. And I use that word friendship very loosely. I mean, there were women that lived together and cohabitated together and had pledged their love for each other. But there were same-sex couples since the beginning of time. And to act like it's anything new is also not, you know, it's not dealing with reality. Nancy, so do you know other gay teens or do you know folks that have been involved with this organization here that started called Justin's Gift? Have you done any work with them?
I have not done any work with them. I think that I probably will get in touch with them after this election is over and find a way to do that. But it's just, like I said, I have a lot of things going on in my life, but my time has been so short, but I've discovered that it's kind of like, who did your heart bleed for? And this is the population that my heart's bleeding for right now, where I'm going to go ahead and put my time and energy into it, because I'd like to see the church step up more, especially the Lutheran Church, because we are a reconciling denomination, that we step forward and show kids, you know, that we are there in the church and we support them no matter what, and, you know, that God shows no partiality.
Well, those are all good points, and I think after the campaign come Wednesday, hopefully there'll be a victory to celebrate, and there'll be, you know, a couple of days to kind of everyone to get rest and get some good nutrition, and then to look around their community. And I want to encourage my listeners, no matter where you live, whether you're in Minnesota or whatever state you're in, is to look around your community and see what corner of the world can you impact in a positive way. Like Chris Ann and Nancy, they've been active with their community of faith with the Lutherans. Like Meg, she got involved through her faith as well, her faith community. So maybe it's through your faith community. Maybe it's through your school. Maybe it's through your job. The woman I was hanging out with last night, she works in a hospital, and she has been working for a year and a half to help advance non-discrimination language in all their service, whether it's their customer service or their employee relations, to include sexual orientation and to educate the administration at that particular hospital. So that's her corner of the world. And, you know, we all have a different corner of the world. For myself, I live in a community much like Anoka County, much like Coon Rapids and Andover, where, you know, this community that I'm in right now this week is, you know, outside of the the urban area of Minneapolis, and Minneapolis and St. Paul tend to be more progressive on this issue, just like in Missouri, St. Louis is further along than we are in St. Charles County. In St. Louis, there is a group called PROMO, D-R-O-M-O, and they're working at the state level, and they're also working heavily, you know, right now in St. Louis County, but they haven't gotten yet to St. Charles County. So, you know, I'm pledging to go back and do something in my own county, and all of us can do something. With various discussion here we've had about faith communities, I do want to encourage people to look up Bishop Gene Robinson's book. I will be having him on as a guest in January, And he does have a page on Facebook. You can look him up. It's G-E-N-E Robinson. And he's the ninth bishop of the Diocese of New Hampshire in the Episcopal Church. And he was elected bishop in 2003. And he's the, I think, the only out bishop that I know of. But he did the inaugural invocation when President Obama had on the inauguration day. He was in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and so many of you that watched that on television and saw that coverage that day, he gave that. And I remember watching that going, oh, my goodness, you know, a gay bishop. I mean, it just gives me goosebumps when I watch that. But anyway, he has a book out now, and encourage people to look that up, get the book and read it before we're going to have him on the air, because then you can call in with your questions. And I'm looking here for the title of the book while we're doing that. I apologize, because there's been just so much happening here, I really appreciate the time of Chris Ann, and a shout out to her son. Hopefully Connor will be listening to this in the archive. This show is archived, and please share the link with friends of yours around the country, around the state. There's 4 days before the election, so please encourage your friends in Minnesota to vote. If you're not in Minnesota, please look up in your friend list, who do you know here? Who can you call? Who can you send an email to? Who can you send a message to on Facebook? I had dinner with someone on Monday night that I reconnected with from Mankato. She's voting no. I reconnected with someone up in St. Cloud. Her and her 84-year-old mother are voting no. There are people that have already voted through absentee ballot, I guess, but you know, it's just these last 4 days are going to make or break this campaign. Are there closing thoughts, ladies, Chris Ann, are there things you'd like to share as we wrap up?
No, you know, I guess I just think we all just need to be a voice for this issue, and I think we need to do it with a loving tone and a loving message, because I don't think you change anyone's mind if you don't have that loving tone and message. So I just think that it's great that that's how it has been working with the vote no as well.
Great. And that's so true. So Dean Robinson's book, Bishop Robinson's new book, is called God Believes in Love, Straight Talk of Gay Marriage. And I think the book is available now online. You can order it. There's also some YouTube videos. There's some book reviews and things. So I think the book has actually been published. And so, he also blogs quite a bit. There's a lot of great articles on the internet about him. And so, yeah, the book is called God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage by Gene Robinson. And, you know, he actually goes through, I think, with a lot of credibility and some really good, you know, coverage of this issue from over time and through, from a faith-based perspective. So really want to encourage folks to look that book up and get that. And, Nancy, any closing thoughts on you know, this issue and why you're passionate about people getting out and voting no on Tuesday?
I've been thinking about that, and I guess I've been aware of gay people all of my life. We had a gay organist at church that back in the 60s was covered up as, oh, he's just effeminate because he was raised by his mother and his grandmother. And I used to notice a double standard where we would welcome the musicians into the church, as well, and we'd turn a blind eye to their lifestyle, but then the church was speaking out. And when it became an issue in the Lutheran church is when I chose to get active with it. And I've stated it before, and I've stated it on the phone to so many people that I've been calling. At 10:34, Peter began to preach, saying, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. So that, to me, that mandates action. And I have been very proud of Minnesota Families United and the route that they have taken. And like Chris Ann said, the gentler, kinder, acting in love type thing is what is going to work and impress people. So I just, that's kind of where I've been at with it. So
fantastic. Well, I do also want to encourage people to look at the website, MN, that's like Minnesota U for United, mnunited.org. You can actually make a contribution there. So if you're out of state, please consider a contribution of any size, $10, $20. You know, it's the grassroots donations that all add up. You can send an email. You can. There's links there for Twitter and, you know, putting messages out. And so, you know, do log into that website, pledge. If you live in Minnesota, you can just sign that you're taking the pledge to defeat this amendment. Of course, if you're in Minnesota, please consider volunteering. You can find out on that website the local offices. I think there are 9 different offices around the state. A lot of activity going on in St. Cloud. It's a college campus there. And, of course, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'm in Coon Rapids. There's Loring Park. I think there's also an office in Eagan. So so take the pledge to vote no. Consider volunteering. Consider making a contribution. And do what you can in your own neck of the woods. And read up on this issue if you're out of state and you don't know what's going on. Please educate yourself. So I wanted to dearly, dearly thank Chris Ann and her family for opening up their home to me and making me feel so comfortable. It was kind of scary coming up here for the first time, and the smells of home cooking and just all the love and the nurturing that they've given me has sustained me. And to Nancy, I hope to meet you before I leave town. I know you're a powerhouse, and well, you'll be at the office later today, so I'll see you here. So we're going to close with a station identification and a public service announcement. And thank you again for listening to Alive to Thrive. My guest next week on Friday, November 9th, which happens to be my birthday, will be Dave Blanchard, the author of Today I Begin a New Life. And he has a new book out called The Observer Chair. He's with the Og Mandino Group. Og Mandino wrote many, many books that are spiritually inspired and help inspire people to go on to greatness and success in their personal life and their professional life. So Dave Blanchard will be my guest on November 9th. You can check out his website at ogmandino.com. And actually, I think you can download a free chapter of his book and take the assessment at the Og Mandino website. There's an assessment there, and they give you a free interpretation of what's holding you back, what's your inner dialogue, how is that holding you back or helping you, and then what's your external dialogue. And so it's an assessment tool. It's very good. It's extremely accurate. Again, thank you, everyone, and it's been an honor and a pleasure to meet the people of Minnesota. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.